And welcome to this brand new 2013 episode of the Crashing the Net podcast on NoCredentialsPN.com. You can follow me on Twitter at TomDaily2, Mike on Twitter at DCSportsFTW, and at NoCredentialsPN for the website's Twitter page. And we're joined today in studio by our lead contributing writer to NoCredentialsPN.com, Adam Fleischman, who has been... I guess we could say he's our Caps beat reporter in a way.
Yeah.
He goes to all the games. He writes recaps. And is actually going to the Buffalo game in a couple of hours here.
Yes, I will be heading out there. Hopefully they can finally get on the board with a W, as they're the only team in the NHL now that does not have one.
But they have a point, though.
They do have a point. They broke that shutout the other night against New Jersey. Albeit it wasn't the prettiest way to do it, but they did get on the board.
Am I the only guy in this room that thinks that the overtime point is like the biggest waste of time, and like that anyone who like actually added on Twitter last night, point's a point. Anyone who said that on Friday,
yeah,
against the Devils should just be shot, because that's still a loss. It's not a tie. A lot of casual fans look at the extra one or however many numbers at the end and think that that's ties. It's overtime losses.
Right. Yeah.
So,
well, it's an even bigger joke that half of the time that's usually decided by a shootout, which any coach will tell you is a complete skills competition, and they hate them because there's no strategy involved in it whatsoever.
I would rather have the NHL go into a another 5-minute period and then end it in a tie.
Absolutely.
And that way you legit have the 2 points splitting.
Right.
There's not any 3-point games. Right. That's screwing people over in the playoffs more and more now.
Yes.
It's just people
especially
playing for
this
overtime.
Year when you've got these swing games, pretty much every game is a swing game.
Yeah, right? You look at last year, Florida Panthers had how many overtime games, and we were having so much trouble catching up to them for the division.
Right.
They were taking games to overtime.
Right.
And basically getting a win out of two losses.
Well, right.
As we get into this show, I will read the point standings as it is today, Sunday, for the Southeast. A lot of people said that Washington would be closely behind this team, but most of the people got it right. I disagreed. Tampa is leading the division with 6 points. They are 3-1, 4 games played, and a goal differential of +7.
And they look pretty good.
They look really good.
They look pretty good.
The thing is that I have a distinct way of how I think a team should be built. Tampa does not follow those rules, and somehow they still win. So they're ahead of the division. And then in second place, Winnipeg is 2-1-1 with 5 points, and they're even on goals. That's because one of their losses, they probably got blown out.
In Winnipeg, with that, it already screams dangerous in the playoffs if you're playing games close like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, well, plus they've got such a distinct home ice advantage. Mm-hmm. The rink is so small, it's so loud in there. The fans are so passionate there, so you have to factor that in as well.
I don't think anyone had, and I know this is early in the season, but the way I look at it is that if you have 6 points now, like Tampa Bay, you really have 12 points.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have 5 points like Winnipeg, you really have 10.
Season is basically 10% over already.
Right. Yeah. So we can really discuss this, even though it has been a week and some odd days. It's flying by so far, and I don't think anyone had Winnipeg even being close to the top of their division.
No.
I mean, they
Most
were...
Most people had them pegged, you know, in the basement.
Right.
They were the bottom dwellers for sure this
and
year.
And a lot of people had Washington Capitals as the number two and sometimes the number three. But as we continue, Tampa Bay's leading, Winnipeg's in second, Carolina is third with 4 points, they're 2-2, and they're -2 in goal differentials. Eric Staal had a hat trick on Friday.
Their players are heating up.
Yeah, yep. And it seems like Alex Semin is starting to get comfortable with Eric Staal, Jordan Staal, you
yep.
know.
Scored on the power play the other night.
Right.
Jordan Staal with the assist.
And I've always been a big Semin guy. Isolate that if you want.
I bet you have been.
But I've thought that he, I've thought that he was not an elite player, but a great player. Mm. I mean, there is a slim margin that separates the elite from the great. I think that as he goes over in time, he will be a consistent player until he's about 35, 36.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a great player. And a lot of people in this town gave him a lot of BS because he had penalties. He wasn't playing defense. But for the true fans and the people in this room, they understand that certain players have certain roles and that some guys don't play defense. You know why? Because they score goals. And that's the point. First case in point, Alex Ovechkin.
Well, you have to remember, too, with Semin last year and Dale Hunter's system, he was one of the few guys that bought in. He was going down the ice and playing defense,
that's absolutely
getting down
true.
To block shots.
Yep.
I told you last year that he was playing for a contract here, and he actually showed enough that I thought they should have re-signed him because
yes.
he was buying into Dale Hunter's system. Like right. I need to keep reiterating that. Dale Hunter's system was about blocking shots,
and
holding on, and waiting for a chance for you to score.
It was a grinder's game, which is not Semin's forte. He is a high-flying, wanting to get into open space and get high-quality scoring chances as much as possible. And Dale Hunter seemingly was not against that, but definitely liked to shut it down and make it difficult for other teams to try to do that to them.
But in the real world, they got rid of Alex Semin because we're not doing Dale Hunter's system anymore. We're doing Adam Oates' system, which surprisingly looks the same. But I had Carolina picked as the winner of the Southeast.
The favorite. And right, yeah, I mean, with the moves they made.
Yeah, they made a lot of good moves, and I actually think they made a great move at goalie where they had a tentative deal with Dan Ellis to be the backup, and then they traded Boucher back to Philly and got a young prospect from them. Because I think that Dan Ellis is one of those guys that should be on an NHL team no matter what. And Brian Boucher is one of those guys that if he didn't do well in the year where they went to the Philly went to the Stanley Cup, he's probably not even in the league anymore.
Yeah, he's still riding on that.
Well, goaltending is absolutely a key factor when you're talking about a playoff run and having success in the regular season. There's, you know, this kind of leads right into our first bit, I guess, or our first topic, I guess, which is the Vezina Trophy finalists. Well, I guess it's too early to say finalists, but guys that we think are the elite, the upper echelon, the guys that are going to be there towards the end of the year. And there's certainly some quality candidates out there.
But before we get into that, we will just wrap it up. So Tampa's with 6 points in the lead. Winnipeg has 5 points, is in second place, and it's followed by Carolina with 4 points. Florida is 1-4 with 2 points, and they're the defending
Southeast
Division
champs.
And then, of course, our Washington Capitals, 0-3-1 with 1 point and a goal of -9.
Is it 2002 again?
It is.
Adam Oates is there, isn't he?
Adam Oates is
back. It's a new system.
Cal Johansson's back.
Everybody give it time. It's a new system.
Ole Kolzig's back.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I forgot they brought everyone back.
I forgot about
Cal Johansson.
It's 2002. We're going live.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what they're doing. But you brought up, Adam, you brought up the leaders for the Vezina Trophy. And I brought this up the other day with you online because I asked the question to you, am I crazy to think that Henrik Lundqvist isn't the far and away favorite for the Vezina this year? Maybe it's because the Rangers have killed the Caps in, you know, a bunch of times, and I just have this misunderstanding of why Henrik Lundqvist is considered one of the greatest goalies ever. I mean, like, Marty Brodeur showed on Friday why he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer,
because
he's 40 years old and he's still blocking shots like crazy.
He's older than a lot of hockey fans at this point,
right? Yeah. And
or I mean, he's been in the league longer than people have been alive, is what. Like,
and he made it through a gruesome playoff run last year to make it to the Stanley Cup final and lose. That Marty Brodeur is a guy that I look at as a great goalie, and you know, say what you will about Henrik Lundqvist, if you love him, that's great. But he hasn't shown me what I need to see to say that he's one of the best. And I think that a lot of Canadian outlets especially are saying that this guy is the best. There's going to be no one that's going to be able to rival him. And I can think of a couple guys this year that could very well beat him for the Vezina Trophy.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I wouldn't say he's the far and away favorite to win the Vezina. And in fact, I'm not even sure I put him as the favorite at this point. He has struggled early. But I think when you're talking about Henrik Lundqvist, you're talking about a guy, he plays very deep in the crease, but he's extremely sound positionally and technique-wise, and he's always in position to make a big save. And he, like you mentioned, Tom, he's been a cap killer over the last, at least last postseason. But a guy that I'm looking at the top of my list was actually the reigning MVP in the Stanley Cup playoffs last year, Jonathan Quick. And this guy is young. He's athletic. I'm actually watching highlights of him right now as we speak. But he's just got the total package. I mean, he's a big guy. Right now, I know that he's posting close to a 90% save percentage. But I just think Jonathan Quick is the real cream of the crop in terms of goaltenders in the NHL right now, along with Lundqvist. And I've got a few others on my list as well. There's two or three others that I'll possibly get into later. But Jonathan Quick, to me, is probably the leader at this point, just based on what he was able to accomplish last year in the postseason.
Just because we've been talking about him, Lundqvist right now is 29th out of 30 goalies in save percentage right now. He's got a 8.93. He's 2-3 with 14 goals against. Right now has a 3.13 goals against average. A couple guys that I have circled right now as the early leaders, because as you said, Mike, we're almost 10% through the season.
Mm-hmm. Some teams are. I mean,
right. But as you know, as we get to the point where we can really start evaluating who's going to be the guys to watch going down the stretch, Craig Anderson is number one. And I think that if Colorado knew that this guy still had this in the tank, they probably wouldn't have traded him away. Mm-hmm. Mind you, Jaguar is still going to be a pretty decent backup for you. And Varlamov is as good as he was when he was traded from the Caps.
Got a shout out the other night.
Well,
right.
And actually, Varley is one of my bold predictions, I guess. I actually have him on the list as potentially being there at
you
the end.
Totally
of the year.
Railroaded and my pick.
I mean, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But I mean, and anybody that has talked to me about the Caps and about their goaltending situation, when they made that trade a couple years ago, when they got the first round pick and the second round pick from Chicago or from Colorado, yeah. Sorry. I don't hate the trade because they got great value in it, and the picks that they wound up getting out of that, one of them was Tom Wilson, and who's going to be a stud, I think. But Varley, in my personal opinion, was the best goaltending prospect that the Caps had, and that's not to pick on Nuvi or Holpe.
No, he was the best.
He was. Mm-hmm. I thought I think he's showing signs of it now that he is on his way to becoming an elite goaltender in the NHL.
With that trade, Varley wasn't going to re-sign here, knowing he basically had to compete with these. He was put on the same level as the other two young goalies.
He wanted commitment, and he knew that he was a better choice. Looking back on that, I remember we were pissed that he was, you know, going to stay in KHL.
Right. He had his option to stay there, I mean.
Right, and, you know, as a fan of Varley, no matter what team he's on, thank God he didn't, because he would have been on that plane for Lokomotiv.
That's true.
So that could have been a tragic story, more so than what actually happened already, because it is a tragic story, and they're still missed to this day.
They just made the playoffs the other day, which is
with
awesome.
Their scratch team, yeah. their new, I guess they had, what was it, two players from every team were sent, and then they made like a team to play with. And I think Sammy Lapisto, former Cap, was on Lokomotiv's new team. But thank God he didn't actually go to Lokomotiv, because he would have been dead. But, you know, I still think that he is the best Caps goalie that was drafted. I'm a big Nuvi guy. I think that Nuvi can be a very serviceable starter for you, but I think that Holtby is just getting his fingers into you know, this whole thing a little too much. I'm not a Holtby guy. I think he makes a lot of bad mistakes. He lets in easy goals. And I think that Nuvi's going to be the guy headed down the road. But I brought up Craig Anderson before we went on that tangent. He has started three games, has 976 save percentage. He's 3-0 with two goals against and a goals against average of 0.67. That guy is the leader.
He's playing lights out right now. Yeah,
ride him as long as you can, especially in the short season.
There's another guy out there that Caps fans will recall seeing recently in Carey Price. And I think that Carey Price, he had his struggles early on in his career, but he's now starting to get that consistency that I think Montreal expected to get out of him. Right now has a 9.53 save percentage with a goals against of 1.34. And I really think that this is the season Carey Price takes that next step.
And that's the thing where getting a guy like Yaroslav Halak off of Montreal was better for Carey Price, because everyone talks about how Halak killed us. Carey Price was the backup in that series against the Caps and had played most. But as you do in the playoffs, you ride a hot goalie.
Oh, yeah. If you remember correctly, Carey Price played. We lit him up so bad that they made the switch.
Yeah. And then Halak was lights out.
Yeah.
And you ride the hot goalie. So I think when you get rid of any competition, and I think you could very well see this at home with Nuvi. If you get rid of Holtby, Nuvi's your guy. That's it. And you have to stick with him. And it's going to pay off for you, and it's going to pay off for him. So when you get Halak out, and they got a pretty good deal from St. Louis to get him, it paid off for Carey Price because he knew he was the guy. There's something about being a goalie where you have to know you're the guy to be successful.
You do, because if you know that there's a guy that's right behind you, and you know he's going to get his chance, especially if you guys are right there neck and neck with one another. Holtby and Nuvi at this point know they're going to get, you know, pretty close to a 50-50 or a 60-40 split. So those guys know if they underperform one night, the next guy's going to step up and take his job. You need to have a little bit of that sense of security as a goaltender to be able to really achieve the level of expectation that you set for yourself.
So as we wrap up this segment of the Vezina leaders, I'm going to give you my three. I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3. I'm going to give you the winner and the two runners up. Number one for me, Craig Anderson, because of the stats I read off to you.
Stats don't lie.
Ottawa is going to be a serious threat this year. I think they're going to go deep. They have prospects that are coming up and finally getting ready to play, and they're going to ride it on the back of Craig Anderson. They have no competition there like what we were just talking about. They have Ben Bishop, who's been a journeyman backup, weird prospect-type goalie where he's never really broken to the NHL, and when he did, he didn't make good of his opportunities, and now he's 25, and he probably won't ever be anything. So Craig Anderson is the guy. Number two in my book is someone who was mentioned by Adam, Carey Price. Same thing. He's going to be the guy to go. And I've always liked Carey Price. He's always been an interesting goalie to watch. We sure as hell know that he loves wearing cool-looking gear. I had him in my best goalie gear of 2012 countdown. You got to think about the helmet he wore in the Heritage Classic, where he had the other guy's face on his mask, and it looked like his face.
What I loved about Carey Price, too, is that is the hardest hockey town to play in, absolutely. Montreal.
And they love
him. And, well, that's the thing. They hated him, and he gave it right back to the fans. Like, as in, like, he did, like, the blowing the kiss to the crowd when he did bad. And there's, like, that love-hate relationship there that I don't think a lot of goalies could deal with. If everyone were to start booing Holtby crumbles like a ton of bricks.
Absolutely.
Whereas, like, Carey Price seems to feed off of whatever the crowd's giving him. So I love him in that aspect that the crowd might hate him for a little bit, but he said he's going to roll through
it. He's got an edge to him.
He's a true professional, and he's a great goalie. I think that he's going to be someone we're going to talk about for a very long time. And my second runner-up would be Marty Brodeur from the Devils. I think that they're going to have a good season in New Jersey. And, you know, there's a common trend here with all three of my goalies. They have solid backups, but they don't have competition at that number two. They have a 1-2. They don't have a 1A and a 1B. This isn't, you know, a third down running back situation. You don't need a second running back to help you out. You need a goalie that can play majority of the time, and a guy that can play when you're on back-to-back nights. And they have that with Hedberg. But everyone knows that Marty's going to be the guy. Right now, he's started three games. He's got a 9.58 save percentage, 3-0, and three goals against, with a goals against average of 0.98. I mean, for a 40-year-old goalie, that's amazing.
It's incredible.
So
for any goalie.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have Carey Price as a number two. That might be a little bit of, you know, bias on my part because I like Carey Price. But don't be surprised if Marty Brodeur gets this Vezina this year because of how old he is and how he's putting up numbers.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And I just want to add one more guy. I'll just run through my list real quick. I still haven't narrowed down to five because I think it's still pretty early in the season to kind of narrow it down at this point. But in no particular order, I've got Henrik Lundqvist, Pekka Rinne, Jonathan Quick, Semyon Varlamov, and Carey Price.
My three, I don't have the stats in front of me, but the Quick analysis are Quick, Lundqvist, and Varley. The whole reason you have to, I think, still include Lundqvist is because he's in the New York market. He's going to get a lot more run than anyone else, and he's going to get overhyped whenever he does well.
Yeah, every one of their games has been on national television.
Right. So with Lundqvist, I think he's also going to heat up as they get to the playoffs, and that usually gets you the awards is when you're starting to do really well.
And when people start paying attention.
Yeah, do really well leading up to the playoffs, and that's the reason I'm picking Quick as well, because together. They have the same exact roster from the Stanley Cup year, and that's exactly how they won the Stanley Cup. They got it together real quick, and they got, no pun intended, they got hot at the right time.
Right.
And with Varley, it's just like we've been saying, they don't have a really, they have Jaguar, but he's not going to be a threat to what he's doing. So he knows what he's doing. That's another young squad that, for the same reason, if they're young and they keep plugging away and they're at the top of the standings, it becomes a great story, and Varley becomes a key cog in making the playoffs.
All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk about our Washington Capitals and the debacle that their season so far has been. You're listening to the Crashing the Net podcast on NoCredentialsPN.com.